this is a long way out. Van Dijk, Salah and Szoboszlai are all involved in this.
I think Szoboszlai is the one who can hit it, but unless it takes a deflection, like, you know, it's got to be something special.
This is going to need a shot of Jan Molby. Yeah. Jan Molby proportions this thing.
Come on, bit of special.
Szoboszlai, he does hit it!
Yeah!
Dominic Szoboszlai, a man of the match performance at right back, scores the winner, a sensational free kick, 35, 40 yards out, whipping it top corner at the top end. It was an amazing goal. Arsenal came here with a game tactical plan to frustrate men behind the ball. The second half we improved. Ekitike had a goal ruled out. Offside was the correct decision. We had chances. Salah, Vieth, Gakpo, all had efforts blocked. But Arda brought on Curtis Jones from the bench. He made an impact, won the ball, and won the free kick that led to Dominic Szoboszlai scoring. Virgil van Dijk, by the way, was a colossus. His last touch there. Ibu Konate had his best game of the season. Joe Gomez was magnificent when he came on. What a win! Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0.
Steve Hunter summing up events at Anfield this afternoon. Dominic Szoboszlai with an absolutely stunning free kick, which sealed a 1-0 victory over Arsenal. A win that sends Liverpool to the top of the Premier League table. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from the scorer Szoboszlai, Ryan Gravenberg and, of course, the Reds boss Arne Slot. But we'll begin with the thoughts of former Reds Phil Thompson and Gary Gillespie, who joined me for LFC TV's post-match show. We are back down pitch side in front of the cup. Our usual spot, Gary and Tomo are back with me to analyse what we've seen today. We'll bring your reaction as well from the Liverpool camp through the course of the show. And we'll also look ahead to the Champions League campaign, which begins very shortly too. But the matter in hand today, it wasn't pretty at times, Gary. It wasn't the sensational footballing feast we perhaps hoped it would be. But boy, is that a big goal and a big win.
Well, I think we're going into the game thinking there's going to be a lot of goals in it, a lot of class shown on the pitch. But ultimately, it wasn't really down to that. The irony is that we've actually beat Arsenal with a set play, isn't it? But it wasn't pretty at times from either side. But I think the two teams really cancelled each other out. You could see that there was a lot of nerves in the game. Passing wasn't fantastic. Movement wasn't brilliant. A lot of game got broken up and a lot of tired legs out there at the end of the game. I think a few lads had cramp on both sides. But all in all, we said at the beginning of the game, the build-up to the game, it might just be a bit of brilliance that wins this, and that's what it was. It was a fantastic effort from Dominic Szoboszlai. I saw him lining up, and I think I said to Thomas, he fancies this. He fancies it. It was a long way out as well, but he hit it ever so sweetly, and he had that little bit of swerve and that little bit of dip. And, a fantastic strike. And to be honest with you, it was a game that, had it been a draw, I don't think anybody could have complained, to be quite honest with you.
I think it was going to be one moment of brilliance or a right howler by either side which was going to cost. And it was such a strike. It was just wonderful. So out of context, really, with the offensive stuff from both sides. And we were saying there's so much good attacking talent that was going to be on this pitch. And at those ends of the pitch, that's where it failed to actually deliver. I think both defences today were more on top. I felt Arsenal felt a little bit, they didn't want to step out. They won, that's why it didn't make for a great game. They just thought, no, we'll do that. We'll try and hit them on the break. As we said before, we'll try a set play. And I think they've had that in the mind tonight.
A I think when you look at the match stats from today's game, they kind of underline the point that it wasn't a match overflowing with quality. The stat that really stands out, big chances. Not a single big chance for either of the two teams. I just wonder how much of that tightness, that caginess, was down to, well, to two things, Gary. One, they know, both sides know, that the other team is one of their rivals, so there's that fear of losing to them so early into the season, but also respect for what they could do to you if you do open up, you do leave space.
Well, I think there is great deal of respect between the two teams. I think it would suggest that. You look at the fixtures in the last like few years, so tight, so close. I think what doesn't help as well, it's the third game in, it's the game before an international break as well. Teams are not really up and running at this moment in time. I think you could see that from the game as well, that there was a lot of misplaced passes, there's a lot of mistimed tackles, it was a little bit, you know, like edgy at times. And both teams suffer from that, not just Liverpool. I thought Arsenal probably had the better of the first 45 minutes, and possibly Liverpool the better of the second 45 minutes. So they kind of cancelled each other out in many ways. And as Tom rightly says, it was just going to be that one bit of brilliance that separated the two teams. And as I say, I thought Dominic Szoboszlai, again, playing at that right fullback position, had a fantastic game, and it was fitting that he probably got the winning goal.
A lot of effort put in by both sets of players. And I thought a couple of guys to really pick out from our team today. We'll mention Dominic a bit later on. But Kirkyes, who's had a bit of adapting to do since joining the club,
agreed,
dealt really well with the pace of Maduaki and generally what came at him down that left-hand side. And beyond him, I think you also look at Ibu Kanati and how well he defended today after a difficult night at St James's Park. Both excellent.
He didn't try to complicate things tonight. You could see in there he was happy to be in his defensive role, to give the ball quite easy. We kept the ball at the back. There was no risk. I can't remember him taking a risk of any sort. And that's what you've got to do. But you're quite right. You look at them, two players coming into this game where question marks were about the performances. I thought Kirkyes was outstanding. Maduweke, at times you could see, probably had the legs of him in a sprint, but he did very well to get back to sort of fight his corner. And I thought Kirkyes was excellent. And you say about how the two teams, there must have been, what, four or five of on each side going down with cramp, and which you don't, that's the high intensity, the energy levels, what each exerted. And you could see it was very evenly matched.
I think what Kirkyes did do, he dealt very well with the one-on-one situations. Yep. He was left a lot of times exposed one-on-one, but he managed to deal with that. I still like that. I think there's a little bit of growth in there. There's a little bit to get better with the communication between him and Gakpo, and plus the fact going forward, the combination between the two is not quite there at this moment in time. But you've got to remember, I mean, for two or three years, we probably had the two best fullbacks in world football with Andrew Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. So it's going to take a wee while to get that kind of combination down both flanks, both down the left-hand flank and the right-hand flank.
A word on a couple of the guys who came off, because in that sort of last part of the game when Arsenal were trying to get back into it, big contributions from Endo, but also particularly Joe Gomez. There was the tackle, he got just in front of the man and flipped the ball out for a corner. And there was that corner put right on top of the goalkeeper, the one we were speaking about watching the game in the first half. He put it right on top of the goalkeeper, and Joe was the one who got in and got the danger. Really good to come on and be that switched on in the pressure of that situation.
It is, and it's been difficult times for Joe. And I think he's come on and dealt it, because at that particular point, the last sort of 10, 15 minutes of a game, it's really sort of, it's intense. You don't want to be the one to make a mistake, and you just, but at the same time, you've got to read situations to be ready, particularly the one that comes across the face, because it's come past Virgil, but he just gets a leg into it. So all rounds, I think they do. Endo comes on, makes that foul when they've got a bit of a break on the right, a professional foul to stop the game, us get back involved. Everybody's played the part without it being an exciting football match where there's plenty of chances and there's plenty. It didn't happen for both sides, particularly in the offensive stuff.
But when it isn't at its sparkling best, when it isn't a game full of opportunities, if you can nick a win, just the value in that extra 2 points today come the end of the season, we don't know, but just it feels like it's a bonus just now, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. You look at the game and you go, we've come through that, which was quite even, as the stats even say. But for us to win, it's like the Newcastle game. That wasn't right by any means. The crowd, everything was against us. and we got 3 points. And that's what you've got to do, the Bournemouth game, to find an edge. And we've done that again today in another way. And Gary did say to me, isn't it nice that a set piece undoes the Arsenal?
Yeah, on the receiving end of it today. The other point that Gary made pre-match, I can't remember if it was in the show or just us blabbing away behind the scenes, but Newcastle, draw there last season.
I was just going to make that point.
Won this season. Arsenal here, drew last season, won this season. We're 4 points better off, are we not?
Well, you're 4 points better off straight away, so there you go. I mean, like, you can't like underestimate the difficulty of the fixtures. Like, going away to Newcastle, and with the situation how it was as well to go up there, get that result, and the manner and how we got it, and then to get the result again here today, you know, it's fantastic stuff, really.
It's all small steps, it's all very early, but you can't ignore the significance, perhaps, of the win today and what we've done so far. I just wonder, in the bigger scheme of things, I was listening sort of pre-match to Arna, and he didn't think that this title race would be seeing a side break 100 points. He thought it'd be a lot tighter across the board. He thought the teams would take more points off each other. Do you think, on the evidence of what we've seen in these first three rounds of fixtures, there might be more teams in the mix? It might be a little bit closer.
I do think it'll be a little bit closer. You look at the money that the Premier League has spent right throughout it. It's, you know, we're paying 25, 30 million for players from Germany and from Spain. And there's, you know, Nottingham Forest, West Ham, they're all clamouring for players. It's going to make, it should make them better. And so I think as we get into the season, there's going to be, that's what makes the Premier League so good, is that any particular time, the team that's at the bottom can beat the team at the top. And that's why it's so wonderful.
I think competition is going to be far greater. When you look at it, I mean, like, Sunderland have come up, like, they've won their first two home games. Like, they've got two wins already under their belt. West Ham, who have been really struggling, like, for the first two or three games, they go to Nottingham Forest, win 3-0. I think that just should suggest that teams are more than capable of taking points off each other, and that will include the top teams as well. Again, we see Brighton taking like 3 points off Manchester City again today. So I think it will be a harder fought contest, and I think there will be more teams involved, and you've got to throw Chelsea into the mix of that as well.
We will, for the first time this season, three games is allowed, look at the Premier League table. The Reds are top of the table. Wasn't a lovely sight that is. Three wins out of three, 9 points so far. Behind them, it's a London-based chasing pack with Chelsea, Arsenal and Spurs all in the top four. Heady days for David Moyes' entertainers. Everton up to fifth, and Sunderland, what a start to life back in the Prem for them. They are in sixth. At the bottom, one or two big names still down in the bottom half of the table. City in 12th, Newcastle in 17th, Villa in 19th, and Wolves bottom with no points from their opening three matches. It's very difficult to make kind of any great sort of verdicts or rulings or proclamations about anyone so early in. I'll ask you anyway. I mentioned Everton. It looks like they are going to have a better season this season than David Moyes. They've got more about them, less of the pressure on them. They've moved house. They're all settled. And there's one of the two teams who look like they've shaped up quite well in these early few weeks.
I think you look at Everton, and it's, that was so important, getting their first win at the new ground, because it's, and apparently the atmosphere was great, so everybody's feeling a lot better about it. Grealish is a fantastic signing. Did I think he'd go to Everton? As I said to many Evertonians, no is the word, because he'd want to play in European competition, obviously to play for England next summer. But he's gone there because he'll play every week, and he'll play more in his natural position, getting on the ball, and I think he's a fantastic signing for them. So there's happy times at them. We've got them in a few weeks' time, so it'll be interesting how they see when they come to Anfield.
Yeah, 4 assists for Jack Grealish already since moving to Everton. Elsewhere, I think the teams look out. You know, the West Ham result has kind of shocked us, but Forest had looked good up until that point, building on what they'd done last season. At Bournemouth, we saw them here in the opening round of fixtures. Despite all those departures, gave us such a tough game. And again, yesterday, to go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and win there, again, having lost so many star turns just shows the quality, I think, more of their manager beyond anything else.
Well, no surprise, really. We saw enough, like, when they came here to Anfield for the first game. I think I watched the highlights last night, and it could have been a lot more than, like, just the one goal, to be quite honest. They had a lot of good chances, Bournemouth. They played really well, high intensity, and Tottenham couldn't really deal with them. So it was a well-worthy, like, result for them. I think they'll be one of these teams that do reasonably well. I think the one thing that you've got to say about a Bournemouth is, can they go to that next level, which the next level would probably be the top six, wouldn't it, to try and get into that sort of position. I think they can, you know. I know they've lost four of their five defenders from last season, but it looks as if it's been a seamless kind of change. And like the way that they're playing at this moment in time, Semenyo's a really good player as well.
He's a really good player, yeah. Look at it. Even he's another one. I thought he'd be the first one to leave Bournemouth, and he played here, and what a performance he gave. But he's like that week in and week out. He puts a shift in. He's got great ability. He's creative. He's got a goal in him. I'm so shocked that he's still there.
I think one of the things you would say about all the teams in the Premier League now, that they've got one or two players that can hurt you in any like kind of game, if you know what I mean. And I think that's the beauty and like the strength of the Premier League, that it's not just a case of like you go to I don't know, an Everton now, like you think, like, well, they've got like Jack Grealish, they've got the boy with the double barrel name, that I can't like
Dewsbury Hall.
Like, I mean, their link
and
up
Jai as well, he's a very good player.
And like their link up in the forward areas of the pitch is a lot better, gives it like Everton a different like kind of focus and a different kind of like threat going forward. So I think all these teams have got like people that can hurt you in the squad.
Obviously, we're studying at some point, having not seen the action from the Amex today, but I don't think we could ignore the fact that City, 3 games into the new season, I've lost twice.
They are really in a transition. I think Rodri started his first game for like 11 months or something.
Changed 3 players.
And you're looking at, they're still not functioning the way he would like. And I think Marmoush, who's a good player, but doesn't seem to understand the press, when to do it. And there's things like that which are trying to integrate into their side. We're saying about our players, they're still trying to do the same with theirs. And I still don't think Pep's found the formula for his side. No matter what, even without this game today, still doesn't look right. They don't look so invincible as they were sort of 2 years ago. So, nice to see, by the way. But I do still think they'll have a lot to say in this Premier League.
I think defensively, they're a little bit weak. And I think they don't have, for me, looking from obviously the outside in, I don't think they have that commanding leadership kind of quality that, let's say, Liverpool have got like with a Van Dijk. And I think that's where they're lacking at this moment in time. They're obviously unhappy with the goalkeeper situation just now as well. So as much as they, I think, will improve, I'm not 100% sure like they'll be like Liverpool's main threat.
Do you think it's worth giving Bernardo Silva the captaincy? And you go, it's a strange one in itself. You look around the squad and you'd like to think you see sort of, yes, he's a good professional, but he doesn't come across as that leader in the dressing room. And he's been given the captaincy. So there will be an interesting one for them.
What is interesting is that I can't remember on the eve of a transfer window so many potential big deals still in the balance. It feels like tomorrow will be really busy and some significant business could be done that could have big implications for all those teams we've just spoken about.
Do you still have fax machines?
I'm sure you've still got a fax machine.
I think what will happen...
It'll be red hot.
I think just looking again like from it, like I think one transfer could trigger a multiple of like kind of transfers, and I think that's basically what will happen tomorrow.
Yes, Gary Gillespie's deadline day domino effect could very well come into play tomorrow. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear from the Rocket Man. Dominic Szoboszlai is with us next.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Alexis McAllister.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Reds, the new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now.
You can also shop the new Adidas LFC training range.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
You'll never walk alone.
our previous right back hit the odd screamer from distance. Our standing current right back did just the same today. Let's catch up with Dominic Szoboszlai now. He's with Peter McDowell.
Well, Dom, cop end, signature move. It's what you've always hoped for, a goal like that, and it was one worthy win in any game.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. I'm a long time ago I didn't score a free kick, so it was time.
When you get the decision from that distance, what's in your mind? The distance seemingly was no problem for you, but what's in your mind that you need to concentrate on in that moment?
Probably three things: the ball, the goal, and myself. And then I just focused and take a risk, because that's probably more risky free kick than just an easy one. With this power, I needed to do, because it was far away. So yeah, I just took it.
There's an unbelievable angle, I think, maybe on the ref cam, where you can see the ball fly. And do you know, as soon as you connect with that, that the keeper's not going to save it? It's going in.
No, I was just hoping. I see that the ball goes outside. I just hope, please, from the post, go inside and not outside. So yeah, I just first of all, I couldn't believe it, and then when I see it goes in, I was very happy.
From a team perspective, so patient today. First half, you couldn't really get any rhythm going. Arsenal trying to stop you where they could, but second half, it looked a lot more like Liverpool, didn't it?
Yeah, but we played against Arsenal. You cannot forget that they have an unbelievable team. Last year, they had a crazy team as well, and then they add a couple of players even to make it even stronger as a squad. So, yeah, we were ready for the battle, and I think they were also ready, and at the end we had a little bit more luck.
Another performance of probably man of the match proportions at right back. No problem, is there? You can play false nine, you can play anywhere in midfield. Now at the back,
I'm going to play where the coach put me. So we had a long discussion about it last week as well. So if he puts me right back, I'm going to play right back.
Some brave performances in there team-wise, wasn't there today? Ibu was sensational. Your Hungarian brother out there at left-back was brilliant again today.
Yeah. I think from everyone it was just an unbelievable performance. They couldn't get us in 1v1s with long balls, set pieces. We defended very good. And at the end, we kept the 3 points.
Just finally, 3 out of 3. It's been a tough start, hasn't it? Some wonderful games that the neutrals have enjoyed, but you've displayed every different quality to get through with 3 wins.
Yeah, this was our goal, and to go to international break with 3 wins, 9 points. It's a great feeling, but we have to be careful to come back, because last season we did the same, came back and then lost against Forest. So that's not our plan, and now focus on national team, everybody. And then come back and be ready.
Well done, mate.
Hey, Dominic Szoboszlai's little dummy helped set up Ryu Ngamoah for the winner at St James's Park on Monday. Today, he did the business himself with that stunning free kick. What an impact he has made in these last few games. Really on it since pre-season. It's funny, I've seen so many clips of him playing for his national team, taking shots off the edge of the box, smashing the ball home. He hasn't had a lot of license, Tomo, to take free kicks here. You would like to think, off the back of that today, he's a little bit further up the queue.
We've all seen him. I'd seen him scoring it just before kick-off when they were having shooting practice. Oh my God, what a strike. Caught the underneath of the bar and flew in. It was, and I thought, wow, what a strike that was. He possesses that. First 3 months, when he first arrived, he was hitting them from everywhere, and then he failed to do it. He was like checking back onto his weaker foot, looking to pass to somebody else. And he's got such a shot on him, Patrick Berger-esque, the way he used to whip a ball. And it was nice to see, as I say, Gary, when it happened, and I know it was between 35, 40 yards, maybe 45 yards, and Gary just said, Szoboszlai fancies this. And I'll tell you, for him to take it on, and it was maybe one of those moments when you're going, it's not a lot happened. This could be one of those moments.
We did have a guy called Trent Alexander-Arnold that was pretty good at free kicks as well. That might be the reason why
we didn't
see him figure too much, Dominic Szoboszlai.
Well, so the path has cleared somewhat.
Yeah, right,
and
absolutely.
He has put his hand up today to be accelerated up said path. It's funny, when that free kick went in, I looked down to the bench and obviously the celebration's happening. Ibu Kanati just stood with his hands on his head for about 5 minutes in disbelief. What done shows you the quality of it, even a seasoned international
that's what centre backs do, because we're not capable of doing things like that.
You could have toe ended one in. Obviously, that's today done and dusted. The international break is upon us now, but come the other side of it, it's going to get very busy very quickly. And that is all thanks to the 8 fixtures that were added to the calendar from Thursday's Champions League draw. And once again, there's some really exciting games to look forward to in the league phase from this new format. Over the weekend, the dates have also been confirmed for all those matches. It kicks off at Anfield with Liverpool welcoming Atletico Madrid on Wednesday, the 17th of September. And then the first of those tricky away ties. He's a trip to Istanbul to face Galatasaray in what will no doubt be a pretty hostile atmosphere on 30th September. Another away trip follows that, this time to Germany to face Eintracht Frankfurt. The first time those sides have met since 1972. And then it is Real Madrid back at Anfield. 2-0 it was last season. Of course, this game will be overshadowed slightly because it'll be the return of Trent to Anfield, which will add some extra spice to the occasion on the 4th of November. After that, the Reds take on PSV Eindhoven again for the second year in a row. This time, though, that meeting will be at Anfield on the 26th of November. And then destination San Siro next to face Inter Milan in December. Victory there in the last visit back in 2022. The penultimate league phase game is on the road again to the Velodrome to play Marseille mid-January. And to round us off, it is Karabakh of Azerbaijan who will come to Anfield for the final match day of the league phase. That game is on Wednesday, the 28th of January. What were your initial thoughts, Gary, when you saw the names come out of the... Well, it's not a hat, it's a very elaborate system of balls and computers.
Yeah, well, tough. I think it's a tough draw, to be quite honest with you. I think the one fixture that always stands out is the Real Madrid fixture.
Sick of the sight of them?
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, it's magnified because obviously Trent has gone there and all the trouble that we had with his departure. He's not guaranteed a starting place. He was on the bench, wasn't he, for like...
Return this weekend.
For the first game, he was on the bench. Danny Carvajal played. So, but I think when you look at Atletico Madrid, Inter Milan, I think, tough old fixtures.
It's actually we've got the two Madrid games here. Because Atletico, the thing is, my God, Simeone, you're just like that. Horrible, he can cause murder in an empty house, and he'd have them so wound up. So for us to be playing,
I might just
see
you two on the touchline next to each other.
Oh my goodness,
ding-dong.
Honestly, he's just mad. And but he gets his team in the same manner. He gets players in the same manner.
Just, that's the first game. You almost feel like the result in that could dictate how the rest of it goes. If we win that, it's a great start. It's a difficult game out of the way, and then it kind of builds. But they could really make it difficult.
They will sit back. They will have everybody on the edge of the box. They won't care. They will kick everything at the ball as well. And they will just make sure they make it really hard for us and hit on be a little bit like today. Hit on the counter, set plays, things like that. But those four away games that we've got.
Marseille's not an easy one, is it?
Oh, Marseille. Yeah. We've been down there when I was with Gerard Houllier. Oh, my goodness, it is so hard there. They are so passionate. If you think Newcastle was bad, it's worth down there.
I think the one thing that we saw from last season, though, was the fact that, you know, it didn't do Liverpool any favours. Like, no. I think we won the first 7 games, then I think the only game we lost was the last one.
Yeah, we changed.
We'd already, qualified quite comfortably. I mean, I don't think you'll need to, win all your games, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
As long as you can get into that top 8, I think it saves you a couple of fixtures, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you sort of streamlines your calendar a little bit. It's interesting looking at the calendar. It's worth pointing out that after the Atletico game, next up, Merseyside Derby, trip to Old Trafford is the weekend before the game away to Frankfurt. And similar to last season, the Real Madrid game is very close to the trip to the Etihad to play Man City. Sometimes it's what's around the fixtures that add the extra layer of complication, Tom, and that's where the manager and his staff will have to plot how they use the squad. And it's interesting, one of the things that Arne has spoken about in terms of lessons learnt from last season was he felt he went to the same players too often through the busy part of the season before Christmas, running through those Champions League fixtures. He maybe could have used his squad a little bit more. He's got perhaps a stronger squad now. You feel he will turn to it a little bit more.
But we did, but there was some big games. That Real Madrid game and the Man City game, I think that they were back-to-back. And they were proper games. And it was games where I looked and I went, because we were doing well, we were looking, we were surprised, and even our own fans of where we were and where we were pitching on some of the football. We were getting through games this time last year. And all of a sudden, those games, you went, wow. Players stepped up. fantastic performances, everybody up in the game, and you just went, there's something staring about these lads that you made you believe that, yes, we could win the league. Yes, we could win the Champions League because it was that good.
Yeah, Carabao Cup to come as well. That is on the horizon next month too. We begin the 22nd, all being well. That'll be slotted in, I think, from memory. The date has to be confirmed once the Champions League fixtures have been put in place. That has now happened, so I imagine we'll get details on that tie against Southampton at some point in the week to come. That, on face value, Gary, is one of the games where it's at home, it's against a team a division below, where he can use some more of the, let's use the word, fringe players or younger players. You know, Rio might get more minutes, that Fedi might get a start, things like that, to give some of the other bigger hitters a night off around those other Champions League fixtures.
Well, I think you mentioned it before, it's all about utilising your squad, isn't it? And I think Liverpool's squad has got a little bit stronger in depth than maybe what we had last season. So all these guys that don't figure on a regular basis and are starting 11 on a Premier League game will take some part in these games. I think that's been the case for, like, you know, for a number of years now. But like, it's a competition in the Carabao Cup that we've done exceptionally well. I mean, we've won it like in the last couple of years, and we've got to the final obviously last year. Disappointing performance against Newcastle, but we've still nevertheless got to the final. So it's a competition that we want to do well in.
But it's where there's pathway for some of the younger players. Yeah. You know, it's where we've seen some of them blooded in these games, and it's fantastic for them. And Leone, the centre back, it'll be nice to see how good he is. He a fantastic prospect, 6'5", something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they've... I'm looking forward to seeing them. But it's going to give a lot of the players a lot of good game time.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it has proved a good grounding area, grounding, testing ground for players in the past. And
it's very VAR well. As well, which is good.
Tommy doesn't like VAR. Okay, let's head back inside and get more reaction to today from... a player who's been pivotal to the Reds over the course of the last 12 or 18 months. Ryan Gravenberch now is with Pete.
Ryan, congratulations. This was always going to be a really tight encounter between these two teams, but we managed to get the 3 points.
Yeah, really happy with the 3 points. Obviously, Arsenal, they have a really good team, really good players, and it was a tough game, but I'm happy that we win in the end.
It was tough to get the rhythm in the first half, and they obviously play a certain way. It's running the clock down, trying not to let the opposition get momentum. We just had to stay patient, did we?
Yes. In the first half, it was really difficult to press them. They had always a solution. And Rice dropped in the midfield, Subimendi, so it was really difficult. But in the second half, we changed the way that we pressed, and it was really, really better. And I think in the end, you saw it also with the free kick from Dom.
Yeah. What was the change in that press then? Because we almost caught them out, didn't we, when Virg had that chance to score. Was there a tweak at half-time into the way we played?
Yeah. We know that the left fullback from them, normally I had to go out. But like in the second half, we changed it, and we did man-for-man in the midfield. And then with Dom go to the left fullback and... Konate to the left winger. So I think that was really better, because in the first half we couldn't get grip on it.
What was your view of Dom's free kick then? Curtis did so well to win the free kick in the first place, and it's in his natural territory, that 30 yards from goal.
Oh, you saw it today. I think I never saw like a free kick this beautiful life, you know. This was really amazing.
You think that's the best you've ever seen in a game?
Life, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Even on TV?
Even on TV.
But you'll have seen him do that in training, won't you? We've seen him do it, you know, for Hungary before, but to see that at the Kop end in such a vital moment.
Of course. I think it was minute 83 or something. Yeah. If you score like this, and then if you saw the fans, the atmosphere was really crazy.
Newcastle was such a tough night. You pick up a booking early on again today. It's such a tightrope, isn't it, for any midfield player, particularly in the position that you play, to make sure everything is spot on for the rest of the game.
Of course. But it's all about concentration, not going in stupid fouls, because if you make stupid fouls, you can get your second yellow. But I think I managed well, and hopefully next time I don't get booked so early.
Just finally, what a start to the season. 3 wins from 3 really tough games.
I know. Bournemouth, really good team. And then Newcastle away. And then Arsenal at home. I think one of the 3 toughest teams to face, and we are really, really happy that we have the 9 points.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, another good performance by old Snake Hips himself, Ryan Gravenberg. Really unlucky, I thought, to pick up a booking today. What I find really impressive is how he deals with being on a card for so long in a game that's so contested. There were a couple of times where you could see he couldn't quite go in on a chance. You knew if he caught someone, he was done. But he rode that obstacle course so well.
This one wasn't too bad. The Newcastle one, to get booked in that, and how sort of hyped up that was, how he went through that game, not to get a second one. Because that's what he's seen. It's how you handle yourself. It's also the trust of your manager that you put in, that you don't go, oof, we best get him off in this sort of game. So I thought he did very well today, Ryan. He really held that. He's not a tough tackler or anything like that, but he is so quick over the ground. He can skip past people. And we're just saying, Gary himself, thought it was very unfortunate for his booking. There was an Arsenal one about 2 minutes later, which was worse, and didn't get a yellow card.
I think the moments when he breaks the lines and steps out are so important for this team. He starts so many good things when he's able to do it because of that kind of long-rangey stride and good control he's got within the team.
I don't understand how more midfield players don't do it. It's a simple little skill, just let the ball run through you and like use your body as a shield to go to the other side of like their midfield. Too many midfield players for me just want to receive the ball and just knock it either back to the centre-back who's given them it or back to the full-back. I don't understand why you don't get that side on, let the ball run through you, and then you're at like the opposition's like defence.
I don't think,
and he does it exceptionally well.
Yeah, I don't think there's as many as quick as him over the first 5 yards, and I think that's, he's got confidence knowing he can do that. The likes of McAllister, they say, can't sort of do that and take that chance, particularly to roll them, because he's made that thing of his own, Ryan.
Yeah, but I don't see it, and I'm not just talking about Liverpool, Tom, I'm talking about the whole of the Premier League. I don't see it like happening like in the Premier League that much. I think, you know, it's one of these, I think it's quite a simple little skill.
I really, really, really want to get a ball now, roll it to you and watch you demonstrate it, but I can't do it, unfortunately. So we'll maybe set that up down the line.
I'm 65, my friend. This
is a simple skill.
I've got peripheral neuropathy in my legs, and you'd expect me to do like that. Maybe if it went back in my heyday, I could have done it, but like, yeah.
Fair point. I won't get you to demonstrate it. But no, yeah. But I think what we can agree on is that he has executed it so well, so consistently, and he's such a useful tool because he takes the ball under any pressure. There was about 3 Arsenal players at one point on the edge of his own box, and he's still happy to roll across and move it on somewhere else.
Well, to most of you, from a defender's point of view, it's a blessing, that, isn't it? Because you know, like when you're knocking it into the midfield player, you've got to have confidence in that midfield player to obviously retain possession and still like look to go forward as well. And he does it exceptionally well, I have to say that.
Yeah. I think he struggled in the last couple of months of the season because he played every game. Mm-hmm. He was relied upon because he was the one to go to. And the Gravenberg sort of shuffle that he had wasn't materialising. I think he was tired, really tired, because of the amount of games that he played. But he's become such an integral part of this team. I just think he was fantastic today.
That just goes back to the point Arna's made about utilising his squad more through that busy part of the season. Oh, because Ryan Gravenberg was an absolute stick on week in, week out, played the full game, you know, for every week, and probably did maybe catch up with him later down the line.
The new Adidas Liverpool FC 25-26 season home and away kits are out now. Buy them today at your official LFC stores, online and on the official LFC store app.
Let's get the thoughts of the manager. Arne Slot now is with Pete.
Well, boss, you must be so proud of your team today.
Yeah, because it was again a difficult one. We had to defend quite a lot of set pieces, not as much as we did Monday night, but quite a lot, and we did really well. And then to win it with a set piece, it's not a corner, but it's a free kick, is something probably this game needed, because from open play, there were hardly any chances for both teams.
2 weeks at half-time, were there deliberate things that you tried to change just to make it a bit more Liverpool's game second half?
Yeah, we wanted to press them more aggressive than we did the first half, but that had also to do with them. They brought a lot of players towards the ball into their last line, which then makes it hard for centre-backs or full-backs to go all the way forward. They did this. They took this risk in the first half from the start, and that's why I think they had the upper hand in the first half. We adjusted second half by going one man to man as well. That's why, in my opinion, we got the upper hand in the second half. But both teams only by margins in both halves, and I think a moment of magic was needed to win the game for either teams.
You can tell how good a free kick is when players around them are in awe of the quality. You've probably seen them do it in training, but to do it in that occasion so late on is just something extra special.
Yeah, it is. It was an unbelievable strike. Yesterday they trained on it, and a few of them scored a lot, so I was curious which one would take it, but I think this one was so far out that a player that can strike the ball that hard as Dom can was the right choice for them to make, for him to take that free kick. Yeah, the way he stroke the free kick was probably the way he played the game. Unbelievable mentality from start to finish. I don't think he did anything wrong throughout the whole game, and then to play in a position you've played probably in two or three times in your life tells you something about his mentality, but definitely also about the player he is.
And also that mentality from a team point of view, because you've needed little bits of everything in every game to come through with the 3 points.
Yeah, it's difficult. You prefer to play a different game in the first half or the second half. Every home game you want to be on top, but if you play Arsenal, who were already such a good team last season, strengthened their squad with 6-7 players, hardly anyone left. So then you know how difficult it is to play them, because last season we couldn't win from them. Twice a draw. Today, if we play this game 10 times, I think 8 or 9 times it would be a draw, and maybe they would have won one and we won from a moment of magic. That's what we did. But to get there, you need to be so mentally strong and physically strong to get the win over the line. That's what we said. I think Florian Wirtz had cramp attacks all around his body. And that's, I think, what you want to see as a manager, that everyone gives everything to get a result.
Well done. Thanks, boss.
You're welcome.
Yeah, again, more about strength and skill today, about resilience. We saw that from both sides. Liverpool, the ones who edged it with that moment of magic, as the manager just explained. It was interesting. We saw that sort of improvement second half, didn't we, Gary, where the press was better, it was more aggressive, and that did ask more questions of Arsenal and unnerve them a little bit, which we hadn't done enough in the first half.
Well, we couldn't get near them in the first half. They played through us quite on a regular basis. A press just wasn't quite working. It was better in the second half. I still think that Arsenal were capable of playing through us on a few occasions, but I think second half performance was certainly better than the first half. And as I say, it could have gone either way. Just that one little bit of brilliance from the free kick from Szoboszlai makes a difference. And I think the manager appreciates that as well. You mentioned there, you play them 10 times, probably, you know, 8 times you draw the game, and then, as he rightly says, they win one and you win one. It was our luck, and it was our piece of luck and skill that got us the 3 points today, but it could easily have gone against us.
He was very honest, wasn't he, yeah, with the quality of the game. I think it's better for us. Arsenal, we know, defensively, have been very strong since the start of the season. We haven't been. So for us to look at far more slot, there's more benefits to our side than he is to him. He'd be delighted to get the 1-0 win. And you quite openly, you go, this was two good teams, probably didn't play anywhere near as well as they can, but we cancelled each other out. So to get that win, I think, has dented their confidence a little bit.
I mean, we haven't mentioned the fact that Saliba went off in, the first 10 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes. Don't really know what was wrong with him, but it did look as if he had pulled something. I mean, whether that affected Arsenal or not, I'm not 100% sure. The lad that came on did pretty well, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, we Mosquera. We also wait for an update on Ibu Konate and Florian Wirtz, who both went off. I think Wirtz did look just to be cramped, but and Konate didn't look too damaged on the sidelines watching the game, but we wait for an update on both of those. What is interesting, I think, Tom, is the fact we're 3 games into the season, we've won all 3 games, but not one of the games have Liverpool dominated and controlled the match in the manner in which they did last season, and the manager likes his team to do.
No, Mark, I think at the early stages of last season, we were doing things like this. We were finding a way to win games. I don't think, that's why I was saying before, when we played Real Madrid and Man City and everything, that's when something blossomed, something happened, and you went, wow, this is now coming together, because a lot of the other games we've gone, we're good, but not really sort of... seen teams off or blown teams away, but that little spell really set us with sort of our minds thinking that come sort of the last couple of months, we've got something to say.
I'll go back to next season. The three games that we've played, Bournemouth at home, we were 3-0 up against Bournemouth last season, and they came back to score two goals, pushed us all the way. We got to Newcastle, always a tough place to go, 3-3, never dominated the game. We played Arsenal here, 2-2, never dominated the game. So, you know, like, you've got to put it into perspective. The three games that we've already played, neither like season have we been able to dominate, like possession or like control the game. They've always been in the balance.
That's it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back after the international break with post-match thoughts from our trip to Burnley. Until then, if you haven't already, then please give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Bye for now.